Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring
Fillmore's finest, Monte Hill. The pride of the Excelsior, Joe Butcher Boy Shasky.
Take him out!
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, the morning roast.
I'm so upset!
Oh, baby! It's a Monday morning after a loss. We've done this before. This isn't our first rodeo, but good morning to everybody out there. Get off the graveyard shift. Hopefully you had a great weekend, all the overnight dancers. Hopefully you made some money too, especially up there in the Great Lakes. 10,000 Lakes, that is, up there in Minnesota. But look, man, Cal won. The Giants didn't win. The Niners didn't win. It's rough around these parts. It's rough. What went wrong yesterday in Minnesota? As they lose 23-17, their first loss of the season. We're going to recap it all. Good morning to everybody out there, especially our friends at Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. You know, if you're going to call it to the roast, you better bring it. Because if you don't, you'll get flushed like Yogi. You'll be flushed. And it'll be brought to you by Flowing Water Plumbing and Drain. So there's so many elements to this football game. That's what's beautiful. Baldy and B tomorrow. We're breaking down with Baldy tomorrow at 7:30 like we always do. But for today, it's your show. It's all the guests. It's all the callers. So, Shasky, I know number one on your list is clock management, situational football, third downs. My number one aspect is the money down. You got to win the money downs. That's how you cash in on wins. 2 of 10 for the 49ers on third down. Vikings go 7-12. That's not good. That's not good at all.
The reason why I'm so harsh on the clock management stuff is because you were shockingly in a position to be in that game. You gave up basically a 99-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
You got a punt blocked. You muffed a punt, and you turned the ball over on a short side multiple times, right? So, to me, like, you had no business being in that game. But there are procedural things as a head coach that put your team in a better opportunity. You probably weren't going to win the game, right? Let's just call it. You probably, even if you nail all these things, like, it is a long shot. But when you don't understand the math, to me, it's almost inexcusable with all of the different, you know, advanced analytics, spreadsheets, laminated sheets. It's in front of you. Now, Shanahan has done a great job doubling up. We score right before half. We get the ball after half. Where I am the most critical when it comes to Shanahan's clock management is when they're trailing. He does not understand. There's a sense of urgency. So he didn't go for two. Which, mind-boggling, he didn't go for two when they scored that touchdown, given how few possessions were left in that game. Fine. You didn't get any of the stops. You had to burn the two timeouts, which you didn't have a third one. Why? Because you wasted it in the third quarter on a delay-of-game penalty, right? Two plays before you just converted on 2nd-and-17, which is crazy to me. And so then you don't kick the field goal to give yourself an opportunity to get the ball back on the other side of the 2-minute warning. So, like, there's like five mistakes in the fourth quarter procedurally. Belichick didn't lose games mathematically, right? And why did Andy Reid get criticized for so long? Because there were certain clock situational management that a 12-year-old playing Madden understands. And that's why, to me, it's like, hey, look, if it was year two or year three, I'd be a little more lenient. It's year eight, Shanahan. Come on. Come on.
Year eight. Year eight of the Shanahan era. It's not getting off to a good start here with the loss to the Minnesota Vikings. I chalk it up to, and look, I thought this was a trap game. You guys laugh at me all the time about that stuff, but short week, Monday Night Football, going to Minnesota for their home opener. I don't take those things lightly. I don't take that building lightly. Playing in Minnesota with that horn and they're going crazy, that's a tough place to win. It really is. And they had a lot to prove. Nobody was talking about Minnesota all week long. Even Justin Jefferson, he said it. He goes, no disrespect to Garrett Wilson, but I'm no Garrett Wilson. I'm Justin Jefferson, Jay Jetta. And I'm a problem.
I mean,
he was a problem.
I hate doing this because this isn't there are hundreds of receivers in the league who fall short. Justin Jefferson is so far and above the best wide receiver in the game. And they outside of the 99-yard touchdown, they did a good job bottling him up, I guess, to some degree. But he got hurt. Hurt and walked off the field and had 133 yards on four catches.
Dude, he fewest games of 400 career receptions all time. This list, Michael Thompson took 56 games. Michael Thomas, excuse me.
The Saints wide receiver,
Beckham,
yeah.
Yep, Odell Beckham Jr., 61 games.
That's surprising.
Yep. Justin Jefferson, third on the list with 62 games. Jarvis Landry, 64. Julio Jones, 64. So he's just setting records every single Sunday. I mean, he's the youngest to do this, the youngest to do this, the quickest to do that, quickest to do this. And he was quick to be alerted that, oh, they have George Odell play press man on me on a 97-yard touchdown. Huh. So when I'm looking at Nick Sorensen and Shanahan, when it comes to Shanahan, this thought did come through my mind yesterday late in the game. With the clock management stuff, the urgency, the lack of urgency, I should say, the situational football, the coming out just throwing the ball three straight times was kind of weird. Wasn't a Shanahan type of game. I wonder if he has too much on his plate right now. Play calling, you got a new defensive coordinator who's a rookie, you have Brandon Staley in the building. You got to deal with all these contracts. You got to deal with negotiations. You got to be in a room for that. You got to run upstairs to tell John Lynch, hey, did you trade Ayuk? We may want to pause on that. He's in my office right now. Maybe Shanahan has a little too much on his plate right now, but we'll see. Again, this week two, we're going to overreact to a damn football game. I think overall the Niners will be fine, but there are some warning signs there. Boy, you can't get off the field on third down. You got all these good DBs, best secondary you've had in years. Can't get off the field on third down. The pass rush again, the front four. This is a concern.
You couldn't get a stop. When the game was on the line at the end, you needed a stop. There was no TJ Hockenson who didn't play. No Jordan Addison who didn't play. Okay? Aaron Jones came off the field with an oblique injury because he got hit so hard by Fred Warner. And Justin Jefferson was dealing with some knee, ankle, leg thing.
Yeah.
Okay?
I mean,
Sam Darnold, with no weapons, had multiple third down dimes in your face, and you couldn't stop it. That's a tough one to watch.
Well, they got dominated yesterday, but the warning signs is things look clunky. The run game was fine for the most part, but pass protection. And before we get out to the lines, I want to read this text from the Xfinity Mobile text line. Xfinity Mobile text line, he makes a great point here from the 415. To me, the game went south because the offensive line couldn't identify and neutralize the pressure packages of the Vikings' front seven. Purdy was sacked six times and pressured another 13. That's 20 plays. 415, you're onto something. They couldn't identify the free rushers. They couldn't identify the blitz packages. Brian Flores was a step ahead of Kyle Shanahan and just mucked up the game. He gave Purdy so many different looks to point after the game. Purdy walked up the floor and said, man, that scheme is crazy. Now, to me, that's showing a little too much respect for Brian Flores, and Flores just kind of shook his head and walked off. But it is mighty stinking. If I see them down the line, I've got Purdy in my pocket. The schemes are too crazy for him. I wish he wouldn't even say, hey, good game, Brian Flores. Now I'm nitpicking. It's a small thing here. Coaches in the locker room are thinking, and those players are thinking, that's 2 years in a row we befuddled Brock Purdy. And we picked him off how many times in the last 2 years?
And should have been probably closer to 10 than what the number ended up being. Look, Sam Darnold outplayed him, you know? So there's no other way around
Brock Purdy was the one seeing ghosts, is what they're saying on the streets?
I wouldn't go that far, but I would say
San Jose Jazz fan.
He definitely didn't see linebackers cutting in on in routes, on breaking in routes.
Sam Darnold saw no ghosts yesterday. He saw Jay Jenner running down the field.
Was the best pocket presence I've noticed from Sam Darnold ever. Just watching him climb up in the pocket, and he threw a couple of rifle throws. There were so many good third down plays. Like, for example, before halftime, you were talking about before halftime that drive. There was a third and 13.
Third and 13 to Justin Jefferson for 16 yards.
How is Justin Jefferson unguarded on third and 13 before the end of half when you have two timeouts in your back pocket? Use one of them. Hey, guys, it's third and 13. We can't give up a field goal here. Like, this goes back to allocation of timeouts. It's not for delay of games. It's not for that. It is for situational timeouts to get everyone on the same page so that we run a good play out of this timeout, or it's to stop the clock.
Yeah.
If I watch another team burn a second half, which the Niners did, a second half timeout to avoid a delay of game, that is the dumbest thing you could do. Treat it like a false start. It's mind-boggling that people getting paid $15 to $20 million can't recognize this.
Well, what I did recognize was the pass rush just being non-existent for the most part. Collins had some moments. Leonard Floyd was quiet. These tackles from Minnesota, we actually touched on it last week, late in the week. Nobody talked about it because Chris Jarrishaw got the big money. He's now top five when it comes to paid offensive tackles here. But these two tackles and their offensive line, Christian Jarrishaw is a left tackle. Brian O'Neill is a right tackle. They got Garrett Bradbury inside, Blake Brando inside, Ed Ingram inside. They did a hell of a job yesterday stymieing the 49ers front four. And I'm not sure if you blitz more. I'm not sure if that's the answer. Putting your secondary situations where they're in one-on-one coverage. I don't know if you want to do that. If you want to start running cover zero blitzes like Minnesota did yesterday. But this front four is on a... I need more from them.
On the play that Fred Warner punched the ball out on Aaron Jones, they sent a free release rusher from the edge, and it was D'Amino Lenore from the slot, right?
Yep.
Kevin O'Connell saw that coming a mile away and was like, oh, we have a perfectly dialed up screen to the other side of the field. And Aaron Jones, let's call it what it is. We got lucky that he got the ball punched out. It should have been a touchdown. At worst, they got the ball at the two.
It was gonna
Fred
be
Warner saved us from losing by double digits.
Yeah, it was going to be 27 to 17.
Kevin O'Connell was brilliant. That third down on that final drive where he had the two rub route, he had the rub route where the two receivers were right up on top of each other in a bunch formation, and it was a simple out, and both of our cornerbacks didn't do a great job of communicating. There were about four different instances where he had wide open guys down the field, and he did such a really good job schematically, design wise, to set up the Niners to where there was confusion.
Yep.
I'm like, where are plays like that?
Yeah, well, Shanahan. Well, Flores was better than Shanahan again. 2 years in a row, the Niners go up to Minnesota, score 17. All right, let's get to the lines here. Let's get to the lines. We got a lot of people here on hold. Let's start off with Tony in San Francisco. Then we'll get to Verucci. We got a lot of people. I want to get everybody in here. What's up, Tony?
Morning, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing good.
Let's see. Good, good. Yeah, you know, I'm not freaking out. I'm not too worried. I think that as a casual fan, it looked to me like Minnesota was ready. They put everything they got into this game. It's a tough place to play, and we just weren't prepared and played a lousy game. I think that what we're seeing is also the contract negotiations coming to fruition. We're seeing, you know, Purdy was sacked three times on Trent's side. I don't think Trent was playing up to par. Ayuk is still looking at about 50%. We don't have CMC. So I think that was a game where we're going to have some going play. I think we'll bounce back. But I think that had a lot to do with it. I think the holdouts had a lot to do with it. It was good to see Jordan get in the end zone. I'm glad we didn't kick for that field goal. I'm glad that we just, I'm glad that we decided to not try to settle for a field goal, try to punch it in, because we've got to figure that out.
No doubt. Hey, Tony, I think they get right against the Rams. I'll say it now. Now, I'm watching the Rams yesterday. Cooper Kupp's leaving the game in the boot. Kyren Williams is going to get worn out. Stafford had no time.
They're missing two offensive linemen, and Puka's out for IR.
Puka's out, yeah. So
you cannot lose to them.
No, they're going to win that game by double digits. I'll be the Shasky this year.
I'm not ever again. I'm done
why aren't you
giving
saying
Niner
that?
Predictions.
Why are you saying that?
I'm done giving Niner predictions.
You gave a prediction last week?
Don't worry, we marked the tape for this one.
I hate you.
Wait, you gave a prediction last week? What was the prediction?
All my predictions were wrong. So, I don't know what
that's
you want.
That's a trap game next week.
Kevin O'Connell has his boys rolling.
Mark the tape. We beat them by 20.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm not going there.
Mark it.
Yeah. Well, oh, no. I'll say it right now. They go beat the brakes off the Rams next Sunday.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that.
They go beat the brakes off the Rams. You watch.
It's funny because I get ripped for whenever I come in hot with a good prediction, but nobody ever gives me love for like, oh my God, I'm really worried about Detroit. Really worried. And they're up like 27 to whatever at halftime. But it's okay. I'll wear it. Sam Darnold made me eat my words.
Detroit.
Sam Darnold had a great game.
Wait, what are you talking
Sam,
about?
Sam, I'm sorry. You were right. I was wrong.
What are you talking about, Detroit? The NFC Championship game?
Yeah, I was very worried.
Oh, no, stop. Don't do that.
What?
Last year, I brought up Detroit's coming, and you guys all said, you really believe Dan Campbell's going to outcoach Kyle Shanahan? I'll say, yeah, Detroit's real.
The Friday before that game, you were so mad at my negative energy because I was like,
that was my Friday. Yeah, that was, yeah, of course you're going to be worried about Detroit. I'm talking about in the season, during the regular season.
You're always right.
No, I'm not. I'm not always
exactly.
right. I'm not always right. I'm not always right.
Look,
I'm not
Sam always Darnold right at all. Made me eat my words. I admit it, he had multiple throws. People are going to go to the 99-yarder to Justin Jefferson. I don't even think that was his best throw. He had so many good third down throws, especially in the fourth quarter. I had three elite throws in just that drive alone. He was awesome.
Great.
I'm sorry, Sam Darnold. You outplayed Brock Purdy. You were excellent yesterday. I don't know if you're wearing a glass slipper and you're going to turn back into a pumpkin, but for one Sunday, you were dominant, and I apologize.
You could say that, Sam Darnold. Oh, sorry, Spinoza.
I was just saying the only NFC team to beat Brock Purdy has now been the Minnesota Vikings twice. No other NFC team has beaten Brock Purdy.
Wow. Yeah. And you know what? Has Sam Darnold ever been around weapons like this? Who's his best target in New York City? Robbie Chosen? Chosen Anderson, his name is.
It's probably DJ Moore in Carolina, right?
Did he have Le'Veon Bell for a year, but that wasn't the same.
Yeah.
I'm just asking.
He may be surrounded by the most talent he's ever been around, Sam Darnold. We may see a Sam Darnold resurgence here
in year number seven.
Did
he play with McCaffrey?
He did for a year, and he got the job taken from Blake.
I don't even know if it was a year.
It wasn't even a year. It was quick.
Handful of games.
It was quick. It was with McCaffrey, though. I mean, you know. I don't know. Sam Darnold's got it good in Minnesota. I'm not sure. Glass slipper may be on for a while. I mean, Kevin O'Connell, Brian Flores. Sam Darnold may be on his way to throw for 4,000.
But this isn't about Sam Darnold. This is about the Niners, because I'm telling you right now, B, like, it's inarguable to me at this point. The Niners can ill afford to allow any contract situation. I'm talking about the Niners. So the players themselves have their own culpability, and their play has been indicating it. Bosa last year, Trent and I, because you're like, we got to get these guys into camp, dude. Like, Peyton Manning said it best last week, and I thought it was funny, but now, like, I'm like, no, he's 100% right. Like, practice matters. We got to get everybody in, and even then, you can get hurt, and you can lose energy. We don't look good right now. We look a tick off. We look tired. We looked exhausted.
Isn't this someone on the front office too, though?
That's who I was blaming.
That's exactly who I was blaming.
I'm saying this is on the Niners. Like, from now on, you've got to hit either you get these things done before camp starts, or you move off the player. Like, you have to see where this is going. You have to have a feel for the guy and the agent and the market and all those things. They can't. This is a bad business model. It's affecting the regular season.
No, it's not good at all. Let's go to Verducci. Up in EDH. Verducci, what's happening?
What's up, fellas? Good morning. And Chesky, baby, I'm always giving you love. If you're not getting it from the game, baby, I'll give you some love from the EDH, baby.
Thank you.
But you know what? You know, this injury for CMC, it's serious, because I've dealt with the Achilles tendonitis. I just had this in January, and it's been 6 to 7 months, and it's still been bothering me. Even though there are days where I feel better, it's just one step away from that thing being ruptured. So
Verducci,
I say rest CMC.
Verducci, real quick, I'm going through the same thing. Mine flared up Friday and Saturday, and it was throbbing. It's no joke. And I'm not cutting on the turf. I'm not going jump cuts and going in and out, lateral movement here. I'm with you. This Achilles is no joke, man.
Yeah, it's no joke. And they better, you know, with that investment, baby, they better make sure he's well-rested. And, you know, as far as the game is concerned, you know, Shasky, I agree with you. These are things that flared up yesterday are things that they should have addressed in the offseason. We knew offensive line was an issue, and you're running out McKivitz and Brendel out there where they should have addressed those two positions in the offseason. You know, special teams was an issue last year. And, you know, granted, I'm not going to make a big deal over Cowan with his fumble, but you know what, though? Get some veteran back there that can go ahead and handle the punt return and then also the blocked kick. But you know what? The other thing that I'm sick and tired of is it's Shanahan. I've talked about this. Bonte, you know I've talked about this with the clock management. And just you're paying the man $15, $20 million, and we're still talking about this in year eight. And, you know, it's one of those things. You know, Andy Reid had this issue, but guess what? He found a coach that can go ahead and help him with those game management decisions so he didn't sit there and have to focus on too many things. But the problem is it's Shanahan's arrogance. It's his arrogance that gets in the way of thinking that he can handle everything. It's going to cost the Niners. It already has in two Super Bowls. It's going to cost them this year. So you know what? It's not an overreaction. These are things that we've been talking about. But you know what? They're going to get it this week. They should be able to clobber the Rams. Fellas, Niner Nation, Niner Faithful, let's keep the positivity going. I know it was a tough loss, but we're going to go get it.
You know, I always think about this. Like, there are certain, I know you don't believe in like comic book heroes and all that stuff, but not that I believe in them, but like you don't enjoy that genre. Everyone has like an Achilles heel.
Wait. I love Spider-Man. I love Batman. I love Cable. I love Bishop. I love X-Men.
He's just not a Star Wars guy.
Okay, that's comic books. But everybody's got like an Achilles heel, right? Even the superheroes, like Superman, who was almost perfect. Like, he has his kryptonite, right? And I look at Shanahan, and right now his Achilles heel, when the team is down in a game, the clock management stuff comes flaring back up every single time. And again, I think he is an excellent coach. I think he does a lot of things really, really, really well. One of the areas of weakness, inarguably, it's impossible to argue the other side, is situational football, clock management, sense of urgency, scoreboard. Like those things. Like understanding when I need to go for two, when I got to kick a field goal to give myself time to get the ball back. Like you're throwing a backwards pass out of a 2-minute timeout to Deebo Samuel, and it's going to be like ball in play. And if he gets tackled in bounds, 34 seconds to go. Like at that point, game's already over. It's just, it didn't make any sense.
You would think after Super Bowl 54, we'd have fixed this problem. Super Bowl 54, when you don't call a timeout before halftime, you let 40 seconds elapse off the clock. And they're like, oh, let's do a little fake 1-minute drill. And, you know, you throw a pass to Kittle and he's called for offensive pass interference, which was a bailout for Kansas City. But that was poorly coached, that whole sequence. Then you get to the end of the game, I've talked about this a million times on this station. When you're at the 49-yard line, you have 3 timeouts and a minute 49 left. And you have Patrick Mahomes on the sideline. You got to be thinking, Mahomes can't touch the football at all in this game. But instead, you throw 4 straight pass plays, including the deep shot to Emmanuel Sanders. What? And so this has been going on for Shanahan for many, many years. Many, many years. And hopefully yesterday, early in the season, they can rectify the situation if it comes up again. Hopefully they can rectify it, because there's a lot of little ins and outs that Shanahan gets away with here. When you get a button-up coach like Kevin O'Connell, when you get Brian Flores, who's buttoned up on the defensive side of football, it comes to rear its ugly head in a game like yesterday.
At halftime, you're up 2-1 in terms of time of possession. 20 minutes to 10, basically. All right? But you're 1 of 6 on third down,
yeah,
and they're 4 of 6 on third down.
There you go, the money down.
And they had the turnover of the punt block. And so, like, I'm looking at it.
And the turnover of a turnover on downs.
I'm looking at it and I'm like they have to execute better. And then they have to think the game a little better. There are situations where they have to think better. And it frustrates me because this is year 8, man. Come on. Let's go.
Let's go to Chambry in Arizona. Chambry, real quick. Let's get to Chambry. And then we got a break. We'll get to everybody here. Chambry, what's happening?
Hey, brother. Appreciate you taking the call. I'll make it quick so you guys can go on time. So Shasky, I'm not picking on you, but just let's take our own advice. Pivot, don't panic, man. It's year 8. Let's not panic about Shanahan's time management. Let's not panic about us being a run-first team, yet for 2 back-to-back weeks, we come out pass-heavy. Let's not panic about force-feeding Deebo the ball consistently when we lose one of our other playmakers like CMC or Kittle. We all knew that Ayuk was going to take some time. I've been saying since about the Patriot game, it'll take at least for us to start seeing him, unfortunately, just the way everything panned out. But my 3 takeaways were this from the game yesterday. One is, after 8 years, it's evident that we don't have a designated red zone target or a red zone package that works consistently, which just gets frustrating, right?
Mm-hmm.
Number 2, if we're going to pay Bosa all this money and all the dude is going to work on is just his diet and power, then we need to rotate that guy and put him inside at times instead of just keeping him on the edge, because he loses containment constantly. They run at him on the edge and he doesn't do a damn thing. And like you said earlier, Shasky, the dude ain't TJ Watt. He ain't causing a whole lot of turnovers. I mean, that second sack that he got was pretty weak. And lastly, where the hell is our change of pace back, like in Matt Breida? Instead, we're keeping guys like Isaac Garendo, Patrick Taylor, who I didn't even know who the hell that is.
Chambry, good call, man. All lads are on the other side. A lot going on here. All right, up next, Coach. Thanks for hanging on tight. Coach JC. We'll get to BPA. We got TC. We got Jeremy in Indianapolis. All right, we'll get to everybody. But Coach JC, BPA, that is the order. On the other side, as we recap this loss, Niners lose to the Vikings. We'll react to Chambry's call there and much, much more here on The Roast on 95.7 The Game. Brought to you by Save Mart, Lucky California.
Time to play the game.
Now, back to the Morning Roast with Fonte and Shasky.
Wait, was that somebody saying we're not going to the Super Bowl?
We're not going to the Super Bowl.
Damn. That was that Raider fan.
It's feeling good. They just beat the Ravens. Spadoni should have bet me.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
I'm not going to sugarcoat it. You can sit here and do a sugarcoat job.
He should have bet me, but he didn't have confidence in the silver and black team. So, you know, Max Crosby. Shout out to Devontae Adams. Shout out to Antonio Pierce.
Brock Bowers, brother.
Brock Bowers. He's a stud. So in Frisco Ballers Fantasy Football League, I got Brock Bowers and Trey McBride. I go two tight ends. I love me some Brock Bowers. He's so good.
Let's work on that Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Today, let's talk Niners.
Oh, gosh. We're not going to go full-fledged into fantasy, Shasky. Oh, God forbid we veer off of it.
Clean it up, Ante.
No, I'm not cleaning up. The Niners lost yesterday.
The only fantasy I had yesterday was that Fred Warner looks like a gladiator from a time, you know, of yesteryear. He could play in any era for any team. I don't care what position it is. I just love Fred Warner so much. He was the old Debo to a degree, and I think Mace too. It was so bad. It was so frustrating. They made so many mistakes.
Did you win your fantasy matchups yesterday?
No.
That's why you don't want to talk about it.
My wife beat
that's
me.
That's why you want to move on.
My wife
beat me. I knew there was a reason. Because yeah, that's not good.
That stupid Rasheed Rice touchdown before half.
Just had like, a really good couple years.
Mahomes just threw a touchdown. I go, great, thanks. I know, I'm watching the game too.
Damn,
he's my fantasy
wife.
Quarterback. Yeah. Yeah, I know, Michelle.
Yeah,
I'm aware.
You don't even did. No wonder you don't want to talk fantasy.
I can't stand that guy.
You lost him.
Of course the Chiefs win that game.
Of course.
Yeah. I hate them. They're turning into the Patriots. They win games they have no business winning.
They won. Who else won? Seattle, big win in New England. Jackson Smith and Jigba. He's looming along with DK. Say, this league is tough, man.
He's looming at Lumen Field?
He's looming at Lumen Field. That Seattle game's not going to be easy.
That was Devontae call.
Dude, that's not going to be an easy game up in Seattle on that turf. All right, let's go to the line.
I'm convinced now there's not an easy game left on the schedule.
Well, trap game. Well, next week will be easy. They're going to smack the
Rams. Why do we do this?
I'm guaranteeing it.
I just proved to you why you shouldn't do this.
That's because you make irrational predictions. You don't put no thought behind it. Okay. They're going to beat Minnesota by 20 in the dome? What? What are you talking about? I'm trying to help you. But at least later in the week, you walked it back. You go 14. Then you went 10.
Oh, I said double
digits. And then I think slowly as the week was progressing, you're like, oh, maybe this will be a tough game. And then the McCaffrey news came out Saturday. Woo! Let's go to Coach in Vallejo. Then we'll get to JC and Sack and BPA. What up, Coach?
Hey, good morning, guys. Normally, you don't hear it from me until basketball season. But I'm going to share a little of my vitriol today. Being that I'm not a 49er fan, and Kyle Shanahan's first name is not Kyle, by the way, in the Bay Area. It's Genius Shanahan, okay? And we have dubbed him Genius, and he hasn't done anything yet, okay? I think we throw the word genius around right now. Look at Dak Prescott, by the way. Highest paid player in the history of the NFL. Hasn't won anything. Jerry Jones, Hall of Fame. But the macaroni and cheese owner, who has won more Super Bowls than anyone, he's not in the Hall of Fame. So I think the expectations for the 49ers and Kyle Shanahan has been, you put the cart before the horse. Let them win something first. Purdy hasn't won anything yet, okay? But he's the great Purdy. So I think that's where the problem is. The 49ers are a good team. They're not great. okay?
Can I ask you a question, Coach? Coach, I'll let you finish. Was Tony Gwynn a great player?
Tony Gwynn was a winning, was a good player.
He wasn't a great player.
He was a good player.
Okay. Dan Marino wasn't a great player. But Jim Kelly wasn't a great player. Like, just because you don't win the Super Bowl doesn't mean you can't be great. That's a little unfair. Like, come on.
Okay. Say we'll go along that premise, Shasky. But, however, I think great is thrown around a little bit too early.
That's fair.
Patrick Mahomes is a great player, but he never leads the league in passing. That's why both you and I, who have him as a quarterback in our fantasy league, we'd be better off with Geno Smith was our quarterback in fantasy league. Okay? Yeah. I mean, a lot of people can put up stats, but winning is a whole different matter. And right. I personally reserve winning as great. Okay? And so that's why, even though I'm not a Brady fan, he's great. Look at all the championships. Mahomes, he's great. Look at all the championships. They're never the statistical leader. Okay?
Well, he was. Okay. He threw for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns his first full season. What are we, Coach? I love you. You know I do. But come on, let's. We're on Earth, and in Earth, Kansas City did have one of the greatest offensive seasons we've ever seen. Where his first full season, 5,000 yards passing, 50 touchdowns, not 35, 50. He's thrown for 38, 37, 41, 27, 26, and 50 touchdowns. What are we talking about?
Brady had 5,000 yards just a couple.
Coach, what are you talking about? He's thrown for 5,000, by the way, twice. Just want to make sure we're clear on that.
Let's go to JC in Sacramento. JC in Sac, what's happening? I'm just enjoying the show.
What's going on, fellas? I got a couple quick points. I just think, this needs to fall at the feet of the head coach. I don't want to hear about anything else other than this falling at the feet of the head coach. It goes back to time management, situational football, not taking the 3 points, going forward on fourth down. I only say take the 3 points because at that point you are struggling to score. Let your offense see the fruits of their labors. Let them get that pressure off their back so they can score points, and now you can call a different game. It's not because C-Mac wasn't there, because C-Mac was there last year. He fumbled last year. This was the same result last year. Jordan Mason had a better game this year than C-Mac did last year. Don't mention Ayuk to me. He had the same game last year, 3-57. This year he had 3-46, so it wasn't on that. This is on the head coach not knowing how to properly use his line protections and pick up the blitz. Then you move to the defense. I guess your yearly punching bag and Steve Wilkes wasn't there, right? You convinced yourself all year that Steve Wilkes was the problem when he wasn't. You had a top 5 scoring defense and a top 10 defense. They let that whole 60-yard touchdown of Jordan Madison drag going all year. When you move forward a year, and what happened? You give up a 97-yard bomb when two guys who shouldn't even been in the game is guarding Justin Jefferson. So now you got guys calling out your DC because you already set that precedent last year calling your DC out. You let players do it, and they went unchecked. Yep. This is on the head coach. You're letting things fester, and I told you very quickly last week, I told you guys, in the offseason last year, you guys laughed at me. I said, hey, they should have traded Bosa and not gave him $35 million. He's good, but you don't allow yourself to fortify your line. They don't have no interior line depth on the run defense and no secondary pass rushers. That's what happens when you exhaust all your resources on one guy, and he's not that type of dominant guy. He's good, but he's not a game wrecker. So I just feel like they need to get some things cleaned up, and they could possibly have some major things going on that team brewing if they don't get this situation fixed immediately.
JC in Sacramento might be the call of the week. Now, maybe it may be one of the calls of the year. Doobie Awards coming up. Real quick, Shasky, Doobie Awards coming up in December. Mark that call right there. Something we may have to circle back to. That's a hell of a call. And there's a lot of stuff I agree with in that call. Go ahead, Shasky. You want
the
to get
only
here?
Argument I would make is that they also have a $22 million player on that defensive line in Javon Hargrave, and he has not played anywhere close to that. So,
But
there's no doubt Bosa right now is he Barry Zito overpaid? No. But it's closer to Barry Zito than it is Barry Bonds' contract.
Well,
you know, in terms of squeezing the lemon.
You hold out a training camp, right? Which I was fine with. They said, you come back, you get your money, you ball. Instead, what happened? And going to 3-game losing streak, and he's throwing the DC under the bus. And JC Sacramento's right. It did go unchecked. and everybody. I was down at Disneyland and some guy, oh, well, Steve Wilkes is the reason why we lost three straight games. I said, damn, this is going on down at Disneyland? Steve Wilkes did. I'm not even caping up for Steve Wilkes. I'm not even saying he's great. The guy's moved around the NFL so much, it's not even funny. But he did get scapegoated. And let's be real, he was the better coach in the Super Bowl. That defense did whatever they had to do to shut down Mahomes. I don't think Mahomes ended up, what did they score, 3 points in the first half of the Super Bowl?
One offensive touchdown.
One offensive touchdown. But Steve Wilkes, all I heard all season, Steve Wilkes this, Steve Wilkes that, Steve Wilkes this, Steve Wilkes that. Well, we got what we wanted. We got what we wanted. He's gone. Source and the company can't get off the field on third down. Source and the company got George Odom, press man, and Justin Jefferson at the line of scrimmage. George Odom. God bless his soul. What Kevin O'Connell and Darnold saw that and said, boy, just be patient and throw it up there. Just let it go. So we're going to be watching Nick Sorensen closely here, but that's also on Kyle. What JC said, I agree with a lot of what he said. But, and Nick Bosa's got to play better. You know where I'm at with Nick Bosa. They're running the ball right at number 97, Chasky. Right at him.
Trust me, I know. The two
with
highest
no paid, respect.
Two highest paid players on the team right now for yearly average is Bosa and Ayuk. And, you know, like, Bosa's not living up to it. There's like, no other way around it.
The Super Bowl, fourth down. There's fourth no down to end it. The game. But, they run it at Bosa. Know that he's going to run down the line of scrimmage with his head cut off, and he's going to blow containment. Outside containment, he's going to blow it. And Kansas City ran that play twice in the Super Bowl at Bosa. So for $34 million a year, number 97, I need more. And what are those sacks yesterday? Darnold's just running around. He ran right into him. I didn't know what Darnold was doing on that play.
Well,
but he's
on
right.
That play,
Bosa's got to play. And I laughed at him for trading Bosa. I'm not saying trade Bosa, but I need more from Nick Bosa.
No doubt.
I need a lot more.
I won't argue on that one. Like, the Wilkes thing, though, we had 20 games. He was good for three quarters of one of those 20 games, right? I'm not saying he was better than that for others. But you're referencing the Super Bowl. Like, you're talking about one of the 20 games, right? That's all I'm saying. Like, let's be fair.
The first 5 weeks of last season.
He's had two games, and one of them's been pretty good. This last one wasn't great. So if we get to 10 games and I have a larger sample size and it looks more bad than good, now I'll start coming down their road. There's no defending having Odom in the slot up against Justin Jefferson. I'm sorry.
I mean,
there's no defense for that.
We literally were comparing through the first 5 weeks of last season. We're having a conversation. What's the better unit, the defense or the offense? Who's the better unit? And it was like 50-50. And then a cover zero blitz, and everybody's blaming. But I was going at it with David Lombardi at SF Standard over the weekend because he goes, huh, this is a cover zero blitz last year in Minnesota. That was the difference in the game. I said, huh, well, scratching my head here because I could have sworn there was a red zone fumble. I could have sworn Brock Purdy threw two picks. Well, he was concussed at that point. So now, like, it's unbelievable the excuses we make for certain people and how we rip other people.
But
it's
last
just,
year, okay,
come
but
on.
Let's.
Come on.
Last year, on third down, defensively, they were the fifth worst team in the league.
Mm-hmm.
So if they're worse at the fifth worst at third down stops this year, well then now, yes, yeah, I'm with you. We're gonna have a big conversation. And if you don't think Nick Sorensen's gonna get crushed, you got another thing coming because he's already getting crushed. Games in, B.
Well,
so you know how it goes. You win, and everybody praises you. You lose, everything's on the table. I'm just saying, of all the people to cape up for, where I stop is right at Steve Wilkes. All right, you had a really good game in the Super Bowl till the end. So, you know.
Oh, man.
Am I wrong?
Oh, man.
He had a really good game in the Super Bowl till the fourth quarter.
No, did Shanahan have a good game at all?
No, and I've been crushing him.
That's the problem. Shanahan needed to have a good game. The head coach had a worse game than the DC.
That's a different conversation. We're talking about Steve Wilkes. And in the fourth quarter, Steve Wilkes couldn't get off the field when they needed to. Everyone knew that they were going to throw to Travis Kelce. We were all screaming they didn't have anyone lined up on him. And then Kyle had to run down and call a timeout.
Oh, and that was in overtime, and Kyle showed his ass and had the audacity throw his headset on the turf and get mad at Steve Wilkes. How about I get mad at you for not scoring after picking off Patrick Mahomes? How about I get mad at you for dominating the first half and only scoring 10 points? How about I get mad at you at the clock management in the Super Bowl? How about I get mad at you for a number of things? Like, Kyle's not exonerated. But we just blame Steve Wilkes for everything.
Wait,
we
who have I been crushing all
We blame
all
Steve Wilkes for everything.
No, but I'm
Lord.
Saying, who have I been crushing today?
I don't know.
Kyle
crushed everybody.
And
we've
the clock
everybody.
Management. Right? Like, so, like, I'm an equal opportunist. You play well, I give you kudos. You stink it up in certain areas, I'm going to crush you. That's what I do. It's credits and demerits.
I don't know.
I don't cape up.
BPA, you're on the roast. What you got?
Good morning. Kyle and John's blind spots are, they don't have a ton, but they are obvious and they are pretty damaging and they continue to get more damaging. Offensive line, obviously, refusal to invest in, a problem. Their safeties, George Odom should not be on the field really in any capacity ever. He's just a terrible, terrible. I mean, I haven't seen him make a lot of special teams plays either, but he cannot cover anybody as a safety. He's just too slow. And their safeties are so slow, and that's a John Lynch blind spot of, I want to find myself safeties who are slow and can't cover. Well, he found them. And then Kyle's obsession with the Seattle cover three, which is basically being phased out mostly around the league. And maybe that's part of the issue for them defensively. And then you got all your big money guys, CMC, Ayuk, Bosa, Debo, right? Just milk carton guys. And everyone's going to give CMC a pass. But when you get pulled out for big money and you can't get on the field even before a game is played, sorry. That's not a good look in my opinion. But anyways, guys, have a great day.
Hey, BPA.
Yes.
Kyle's clock management in the fourth quarter. What did you make of it?
Yeah, it's when they're losing, it always looks bad. and so, I think, there's definitely the Steve Wilkes redemption tour. Well, yesterday had a good day. And, I was pretty confident that moving on from Wilkes and Sorensen and whatever his name is would help shore it up. And, yeah, my confidence is pretty pierced at this point on that front. So, Vontae, you may,
I don't even care about Steve Wilkes. But let's not make it all about Steve Wilkes, for crying out loud. We act like Steve Wilkes. The Cleveland game, you lost 19-17, okay? You had a chance to win a game with a game-winning field goal. The offense wasn't good that day. Chalked that one up. You shouldn't have lost to Cleveland game. You lost to a third-string quarterback. Whatever. You gave up 19 points.
Why are we talking about Steve Wilkes?
I don't know why we're talking about Steve Wilkes. But just for some reason, we just make it seem like Steve Wilkes was all-time bad. I was like, wait a minute.
Defense situationally couldn't get stops, which was similar to what happened yesterday.
Exactly. And you don't have a damn pass rush.
That is true.
Every defense coordinator is going to look bad when you don't have a pass rush. So that starts with the guys up front. Chris Kocurek, lauded as one of the best D-line coaches in all of football. I didn't hear Leonard Floyd's name one time yesterday.
They ran the ball up the gut so many times yesterday. And then once the Niners stopped it up the middle, they threw it to the outside and were doing the jump cut tosses. And Aaron Jones and this guy Chandler were running really hard. They had over 100 yards midway through the third quarter. They had 100 yards. So
I don't think,
to your point, like they couldn't stop it.
Leonard Floyd didn't have a tackle.
Well,
I don't see his name on a box score.
If you told me he didn't suit up, I wouldn't believe you.
My God. He didn't. Where's Hargrave? He had two tackles. What a. Malik Collins, he played.
Actually, McClellan's made a couple plays.
Yeah, I saw him pushing the
pocket
a little bit.
And then they had Jordan Elliott out there, and Jordan Elliott, his biggest contribution was rolling up on Bosa's ankle.
Jesus Christ.
Well, no, I'm just saying. I didn't hear his name otherwise. No. I'm not ripping him.
My biggest, the X factor this season, my biggest concern was edge depth, pass rushers. And I got a feeling that John Lynch is going to have to use the phone to go get another pass rusher, whether it's Yannick Ngakoue or another D tackle. But hell, you may need another running back for crying out loud. Because Jordan Mason, he's getting to 20 carries left and right, but who's the backup? Garrido? You may need another player.
He had one carry. The whole entire stadium knew he was getting the ball. Yeah. He was stuffed right behind the line. But this goes back to the predictability of Shanahan. I thought yesterday was one of his least creative game plans, and I thought it was a recipe for disaster. He falls behind, and he can't do what he needs to do, and he likes to control the clock. They lost on getting doubled up. They're the ones that got doubled up in terms of the score right before halftime and then getting the ball back. They couldn't get situational stops. Thank God for Fred Warner out there, otherwise they would have got their doors beaten off them. It was not good, and I thought their vertical passing game was hit and miss at best.
Are they missing Armstead? We'll see
Armstead
about that.
Barely played the last couple of years. We'll see about that. A lot.
6'5" Should they go get Hassan Reddick? You know what?
It's not the worst thing.
I call Joe Douglas in the New York Jets.
It's not the worst thing.
We've been spending money on everybody. Might as well spend some more money. Who cares?
You're I'm all optimistic, Fonte.
We just gave a running back 2 years and $38 million. Granted, he's the offensive player of the year, and I would have done the same thing. But he may not play this year.
If I told you that Jordan Mason had 12 carries for 72 yards at halftime, wouldn't you have been like, damn, I didn't think he touched it enough, which is crazy to say.
Real quick. Let's go get Hassan Reddick, who's held out the entire training camp. So let's just have the trifecta of the offensive lineman, the defensive lineman, and the wide receivers.
Why not?
Why not?
The San Francisco holdouts.
You know what? You know what's funny, though? They need another edge rusher.
It ain't nothing you can do about it.
It ain't nothing you can do about it.
How did Darnold look so spry against this defensive line?
Sam Darnold looked so damn comfortable yesterday.
He ran twice.
He looked so comfortable yesterday. Now, maybe there's something with him knowing the playbook, knowing the scheme. There could be something to that. There could be something to that.
I thought this was a new defensive scheme.
New.
Or wrinkled. No. Excuse me. No. A wrinkled defensive
scheme. Yeah, there was a new wrinkle. We saw George Odom press Manning Justin Jefferson at the line of scrimmage at the 2 yard line.
Yeah, that's
the new wrinkle. Well,
the third and 13 before halftime, how is Justin Jefferson so open? How? What are we doing? Again, this is like, there are certain players, like, I'll let anyone else beat me. Hey, this guy number 83, who's number 83?
Here, let me pull up.
Whatever his name. He made a catch on that 26-yard pass by Darnold.
Naylor,
okay. Never heard of him, all right? Wow.
Jalen Naylor.
I was like, that's a hell of a throw and catch. Tip the cap. The guy who cannot beat you is Justin Jefferson.
Did you see Sherfield?
Oh, he made plays.
He made a play against his former team.
You know, they were lucky that the Cowan's punt muff actually got recovered by them.
Oh,
because it was sitting on the ground like a basket of eggs, ready to be swooped.
The punt got dropped by Cowan, and I saw it coming, too.
Well, did you hear me?
No, I didn't hear you from San Bruno. I tweeted out immediately. I tweeted immediately. I said, I wish I had a camera on Shasky. I thought about him. Dude, and I was like, oh, he might muff this.
Oh,
and
I
this
saw mad scramble. Wait a minute. We went to practice, and one practice, and we watched him muff like six or seven returns, and they were like, yep, he's good to go.
That's the first day of training camp, though. Come on. His first day of camp.
Bonte.
First, you want Trent Taylor back there?
Oh, he's coming back, whether I like it or not. You think I'm tripping? Trent Taylor's getting elevated.
David Fresno, what's happening, man?
Hey, Dave.
What a show. David Fresno, what's happening?
Nothing makes me crazier than the Niners losing.
Hey, it makes us all crazy, dude. It's like we was all happy last Tuesday after the Jets win. Now it's like, to the opposite this week. I mean, look, nobody expected them to go 18-0, okay? You're going to lose some games. But what's concerning to me is that I feel like with the losses under Shanahan, they all kind of feel the same, don't they? It's like we don't really make in-game adjustments, in my opinion. We have a great script leading up to the game, but when the game kind of does goes off script, I feel like we don't do a good enough job of, okay, this is what the plan was going into the game, but this is what we should be doing. Also, you guys already touched on it, these exotic blitzes. We really struggle against that.
We sure do.
You saw that against the Ravens. We obviously always see it against the Chiefs, and you saw it yesterday. It's like we don't do a good enough job of adjusting to that. Another thing is that we kind of go away from what's working. The run game was working. Like, I get it. That probably wasn't the game plan, but that was our most effective offense. So at the end of the day, I'm not going to look at the players. I'm going to look at the head coach. I'm not saying fire him. I'm not saying that. He's a good head coach. But we have a really, really good roster. I've been hearing that all season. I heard it on Tuesday. At the end of the day, I know McCaffrey's out, but that's no excuse. We got the quarterback everybody loves.
Yeah.
We got the coach everybody loves. We have all these players, high-paid players. Thank God for Fred Warner because it could have been much worse yesterday.
Yep.
So it's not the end of the world. But there's no excuses, none. Okay, so, like the guy said earlier, like you said, the call of the year. I totally agree.
Yeah.
We got to get stuff buttoned up, and it's not just the loss yesterday. It's the losses. All our losses under Shanahan all kind of feel the same, and that's the concerning thing to me. And then it doesn't seem like they're doing enough to correct those mistakes.
Well, no, it was a good call, Dave. Good call. By the way, did BPA? I sometimes tune out of BPA. I'm looking at Spinotti or something because I kind of know what he's going to say.
I have a big mouth sometimes.
We let this go. He said John looks like safeties like him, slow and can't cover. Did he really say that?
Who cares?
I mean, no, seriously. BPA says some things here. You guys want to name him the wrestler of the year?
Hey, that's not nice, man.
Please. That's so disrespectful.
So he brought up the exotic blitzes.
Yeah.
First possession after halftime, okay, the Niners get the ball back, all right, after forcing a punt, all right? And it's 3rd and 11 after they lost a bunch of yards on a Mason little toss play where he gets stuffed. Van Ginkle runs a stunt up the middle.
Yep.
And before Purdy can even get to his back foot, all of the route combinations are so deep down the field. Because yep. It's 3rd and 11, right? Like, I'm not ripping, but he had no time. He had no time to go anywhere. And you see kind of Juszczyk opening up at the last second. Oh. But by the time that Purdy could even get rid of the ball, Van Ginkle's in his belly button.
Well, here's the theme. I thought it was a beautiful blitz
by Flores.
Well, a theme that we're starting to see, whether it's Flores, whether it's Steve Spagnuolo with Kansas City. When you play press man against the 49ers in their offense and you dare them to throw the football and you could blitz, you have a lot of success. Philadelphia, NFC Championship game. L.A. Rams, NFC Championship game. The Super Bowl against Kansas City. Both Super Bowls against Kansas City. There is a formula, it feels like, for the Shanahan offense, and that formula is be physical as all hell. Press them up at the line of scrimmage, and don't be afraid to blitz. Because when you do blitz the 49ers, there seems to be a free rusher at all times, whether it's Van Ginkle. This Pat Hill kid had 2 sacks yesterday, just coming out of nowhere. Cashman, I was like, damn, this Cashman guy, who was that?
He broke on 3 balls in the middle of the field and had his hand on at least 2 of them. I couldn't tell if he got it on the 3rd one. He was outstanding.
Cashman, 13 tackles, and he had a sack. I mean, I was like, wow, Kyle's blown away by these no-name defenders from the Minnesota Vikings. And then you get a veteran like Stephon Gilmore in the back end with Byron Murphy Jr. They've got something cooking. Harrison Smith is still a smart safety. Yeah, he's a little older, but he still has the IQ. We underestimated Minnesota, but their scheme and their exotic blitz packages, I don't wonder why Shanahan has trouble with those.